This is the Jason Jones Show, powered by Mudhouse Media. Now, here's Jason Jones.
Aloha, everybody, and welcome to the Jason Jones Show. I am your host, Jason Jones, broadcasting from the west side of Oahu. Make sure you give us 5 stars and write a review. When you rate this podcast and you review this podcast and you subscribe to this podcast, it helps it grow. So please do that. All right. The Jason Jones Show is a project of Movie to Movement. And Movie to Movement was founded to promote a culture of life, love, and beauty through the power of film. And I wrote a book called The Race to Save Our Century, which you can get for free with a donation of $20 or more at thegreatcampaign.org. But we built this organization to advance 5 principles. Number 1, that the human person has an incomparable dignity, beauty, and worth, an inviolable dignity. Christian personalism, the Imago Dei, that's number 1. Principle 2 is the transcendent moral order, that there is a law above the laws of man, the posited laws of man that we can judge laws by, customs by, mores by, our personal behavior by, all right? And that's number 2, the transcendent moral order. Number 3 is subsidiarity. What is subsidiarity? That's the theme of today's show. The more distant a bureaucracy is from you or an organization is from you, the less influence it should have in your life. So in other words, unelected bureaucracies like the WTO or the CDC should have very little influence to zero influence in your day-to-day life. Those non-governmental organizations, you know, like your family, your neighborhood, your friends, your parish, well, that's where most of the influence on you should be coming from, right? Non-governmental organizations, natural human associations, like families and friends and communities. That's number 3, subsidiarity. That's the theme of today's show. Number 4 is the humane economy. A just social order is grounded in private property rights. And 5 is solidarity. So today is really principle 3 and principle 5. It's subsidiarity and solidarity. So what do I mean by that? When our governors were shutting our states down, this created massive unemployment. In Hawaii, we're approaching 50% unemployment. And so 8 weeks ago, a buddy of mine, Dallas Carter, said, Jason, I'm going to put together a little program to make sure the elderly in my neighborhood and the couple of blocks around which I live, we make sure that none of the elderly are going without their necessities of life. So they started a project called Kupuna Needs together with an Eagle Scout. And now Kupuna Needs has become a key to the health of so many of our families. And so I had Dallas Carter on the show to talk about his project, Kupuna Needs, to inspire all of us to make sure that we're looking closest to us and we're doing our responsibility, caring for our family, our friends, and our neighbors. And this episode is being brought to you by Movie to Movement and the Vulnerable People Project. Let's just get to the interview with Dallas Carter from the Kupuna Needs Project. Aloha, Dallas Carter. Welcome to the Jason Jones Show.
Thanks for having me on, Jason.
Well, brother, so in the past couple of weeks, I had a friend on who is the prime minister in exile of East Turkestan, which is being occupied by China. I had an Assyrian Christian come on to talk about the plight of Christians in the Middle East in the wake of the COVID shutdown. And so we really wanted to highlight vulnerable populations. I think it's strange, or it's kind of uncanny for me to realize that the most vulnerable place in the developed world, in the first world, whatever is politically incorrect today to say, is the state of Hawaii.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand that. So I wanted to have you on, Dallas, because you founded an organization called Kupuna Needs. And can you tell us what Kupuna Needs is?
Yeah, sure. So it started really at the start of the pandemic quarantine shutdown that was ordered by our state. A group of us got together, just Catholic men who wanted to help, you know, people in the community, helping give some groceries out of our garages. we all kind of got together and realized, hey, why don't we take this to the next step? Why don't we really make this a big thing and help as many people as possible? So we gathered together. We were given permission to use an old Catholic school that had been shut down a few years ago as our headquarters. And there was four Catholic men along with Ryan Fielding, who I'm very proud of. He's a young man, 17 years old, just graduated from Wanalua High School. And he was working towards his Eagle Scout. And he's like, hey, listen, help. Let me, I'm going to coordinate everything. You guys help me. Let's work this together. And we started our operation. I had the intention of helping a couple hundred people do what we can, do our part to be there for one another during this time. And what's happened in the last 7 weeks, coming up on the eighth week here, is we've served nearly 20,000 people. And those numbers, it's such a large number that we don't have someone on staff to count, literally.
Right.
When I say 20,000, I really believe I'm being very conservative with that number. It's probably more, because if we give a family a box and there's only, they say they have three in the family, but is it feeding seven maybe? I mean, we can't calculate.
That's true.
All that number. So we think anywhere between 17 and 25,000 is a good range of how many
people you help fit. 25,000 meals, or is there more than one meal on those packages?
So it counts as both, right? So some days we're doing all of it. We do, number one, we do hot meals. We work with our partners, Meals and Wheels Hawaii and some other organizations, and we help deliver those meals, probably 60 to 100 a day of those meals. Other organizations, one point early on, we were delivering hundreds of meals for other organizations that were making meals, to give out, but had no drivers, so we would drive them for them. And then our own operation, we put together two-week bags of either toiletries or food, or both, depending on what is asked of us. We have a hotline people call into. And those bags normally aren't going just to feed one person. They're going to feed multiple people. And it's food to have a legitimate amount of calories every day for 2 weeks. So however many meals that is, I have no clue. I just know
so
it's
food for 25,000 times.
I mean,
2 weeks of meals.
Well, I'll just say that it's 25,000. It includes those, and it includes some of the hot meals that we're doing.
Okay, now you said that people, they call you?
Yeah, so we have a hotline, a local hotline number that people call. If you ask me the number right now, I'll have to look it up.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, sure. But we have a number that people call. And in fact, even today, this is May 26th, even this morning when I was there, nonstop, the hour I was there getting our bags ready and loaded up in my van, the phone did not stop ringing. And that ring, we have a special ring. I don't know where it comes from, but it's stuck in my head even when I sleep, because it's just... you hear it and it just nonstop rings.
Well, let's set it up for the people of the world, right? So people listening to this all over the world, we're at acknowledged 35% unemployment. That's the stated unemployment.
Right.
That's how many people have filed for benefits and qualified.
That's right.
But that's not the real number. We're probably, the real number is around 50%. 50% unemployment in the state of Hawaii.
Not only that, another number to consider in that, just to throw it out there, are people who lost income but are not unemployed.
Like me.
Or like me.
Yeah.
Like my business, my family business completely shut down. Am I unemployed? Well, no, I have multiple streams of income. But my family business that was making $30,000 of revenue every month for the last 15 years overnight went to zero, right? And so I don't think we're counted in that number, that 35%.
No, and how long will it take you to get back what you've lost?
Well, because of tourism and because of, what we sell being attractive to visitors, like we sell locally made foods, peanut butters, jams and jellies and all of that, it's probably going to take anywhere from 2 to 3, years for us to bounce back. I remember 9/11, it took us probably about a year to recover from that, because people were afraid of flying and there were some restrictions. And that only lasted a short amount of time as far as, restrictions and things.
Yeah.
But now you're talking about something where our government, our state has shut down for, 2 months. And we still, even after we open up locally, which I'm grateful for Kama'aina, economy as well, right?
Kama'aina means local economy.
Yeah, local economy. It's who knows when we're going to open up to tourists again openly. And so once it is open up openly, who knows how long before people are unafraid of coming?
Yeah.
And then after that, then we count the clock to 2 to 3 years to recovery.
And that might be a year before we get the clock to start even ticking.
Right. But you know, never mind me. You know,
but never mind you. That's my point. So it wasn't like you're like, things are great with me.
Yeah.
No, it was like my business has just been destroyed.
Right.
You called me and you said, I'm going to start this Kapuna Needs. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it wasn't going to be a big thing. You were just thinking your neighborhood.
Right. That's right. That's it. That's all I was thinking.
And how many people don't do things because they think it's not big?
Yeah.
You know, but you were like, no, I'm just going to feed my neighbors.
Right.
And now early on, it was being stigmatized even to visit or help the elderly.
Right.
So how did you deal with that?
Well, what we did is we worked with a couple of different organizations to get proper safety training. And when I say safety, I mean for personal safety, but also for the psychological well-being of others. How do we approach people who I'm not there to discuss.
Are scared to death.
Yeah, I'm not there to convince them out of it or anything. It's not my job.
No. You know, yeah. You want to show up with the mask on.
And so, you know, we learn how to keep a certain social distance. When we deliver food, it's delivered in a bin so that we're not touching the bag, you know, and then it's all very, very, you know, to a pretty high level of personal but also psychological security for everyone involved. And, you know, we were able to do that. And trust me, we are visiting people who are terrified out of their mind. And they keep calling us because we do it in such a way so as to not, you know, have them so that they can feel safe.
I mean, this is scary. Like, you've told me there are people, plenty of people you've approached that haven't eaten in 3 days.
That's right.
And then they see you and they're still scared. They're scared of you.
Yes. It's heartbreaking to see, too. And these people are, Jason, they're invisible to other people. The state doesn't. Like, this is not, you know, like in all the state's plans, they're not thinking about these people. I'm talking about Kupuna, which means elder, senior. I'm talking about older folks in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, some of whom do not have family on the island. Maybe their sons and daughters live, you know, in the mainland someplace, and they're terrified. They don't know what to do. And more than a couple of times, I have met people who, you know, they're not rough and tough, you know, got some extra weight on them, and they're probably okay for 2 days with just water or whatever. No, I'm talking about frail people who are admitting to me that they haven't eaten in two and a half days, and they're so grateful that we've come and brought this little bit of food because now they can finally eat. That happens. It's happening. I'm witnessing it.
No, you know? Every day you call me with a different story. Yeah. You told me one that was really interesting is you're driving to a really wealthy neighborhood.
Yep.
And you're like, what am I doing here delivering food?
That's right.
And then you go there. It's an elderly woman afraid to leave her house, doesn't know how to use Uber Eats or whatever.
Right.
And called your number. Mm-hmm. You delivered her food and she gave you $1,000 tip.
Yeah, there's been more than once that we've had very large donation. I think the largest was $1,000 of people who just don't know where to turn to get the things that they need. And that's interesting, right? Because that number, it's not that we have 20,000 people who have... It's not just 20,000 people, some of whom are financially struggling. That exists, certainly. 35% unemployment stated, you know, speaks to that. But also a different demographic, which isn't a normal part of outreach service, are people in the middle class or even the upper class who just do not know where to turn to get the things that they need during this time where they're confused about what they should, what they shouldn't, what they can, what they can't do. And these older folks that do not know how to use, you know, Instacart or Uber Eats or whatever it is, they know how to dial a phone number, so they're calling us. And it reveals this whole new demographic of people who have means. They're financially okay. They just don't know where to get their stuff because they're not sure what they're allowed to do legally. They're not sure. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, two things that scare me. Number one, what happens if, like, what would have happened if you didn't start Kapuna Needs?
Right.
Those people would not have eaten.
That's right.
So many times we think if we don't do it, someone else has got it. But that's not true. All types of people are falling through the cracks.
Yeah.
On the island of Kauai, we had almost as many suicides last week as in the previous 12 months.
It's insane.
So people are falling through the cracks. They're those people who reached out to you would have fallen through the cracks if you didn't find Kapuna Needs. That's one thing that scares me. The other thing that scares me is there are people that aren't finding you. So what's going to be the true damage? When are we going to find someone dead in their house?
Jason, it's happened. It's happened. I'll have to tag you on it. I think it was on Mean Hawaii or something on Instagram. where, and it was local because you could hear the local accent and everything. It was at an apartment complex. I'll have to get you the actual video.
Yeah.
But they found a, from my understanding, watching the video, they found somebody in their home, an older folk, a person who had been dead for a few days. No one had checked on him. What the hell, man? Right? It's unbelievable that we've come to the...
Because everyone's being told the responsible thing to do is lock yourself in your house, watch Netflix, and order food from Uber Eats. That's great for us who know how to use these apps, who are younger. If you're 80, 90 years old, you don't know how to use it. I mean, it's just bizarre. And people are afraid. My wife took a homeless woman with no legs in a wheelchair that lives in our neighborhood to get Zippies. People were scowling at her, at the Zippies. They were scowling at my wife. And my wife said, I don't understand why everyone was giving me dirty looks. I'm like, they were mad at you for putting that woman's life in harm. They looked at you as being reckless because you weren't socially distancing, that you bought her food, that you handed her food. They were looking at you and going, what an irresponsible woman. And they thought they were being responsible by not helping.
Yeah, no. I can get really emotional really quick talking about some of these people I've encountered and the people that I've seen. But there are so many people out there. I went to a place, I don't think I shared this story with you. I did a delivery in Wahiwa, and I think it's not a nursing home. It's just an older folks home.
A care home.
Yeah, a care home. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but on the phone, the man couldn't really speak clearly, and I just got enough information to know where to find him, and I walked up, and I had my mask on, and you know, everything for everyone there, you know, for the safety of everyone's psychological, you know, comfort. And I did all of that, and I was doing all of that, and this guy comes downstairs, and you could just tell no one's taking care of this man. His clothes look like he's worn them for 3 weeks, you know? And just, why are we not helping people like this, you know? And like you said earlier, I think that we get this, normalcy bias. I learned that from you, that idea of normalcy bias. And I feel like when we hear, it's interesting, I heard some state and city press conferences. There's nothing else to watch or listen to, so that's all I listen to every day, right?
They're all day, every day.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was listening to one of them, and in it, he's talking about how great, you know, all these organizations are for helping and everything. But I think what people don't realize is they're talking about us. They're talking about our group. They're talking about groups like ours. There isn't some magical city organization, you know, that takes care of everyone who's falling through the cracks. And that is, I think that normalcy bias comes in because everyone at home, even people who have good hearts, but haven't really thought about it too much, they figure, no. People are taken care of. Jason, it's not happening, man. We're doing our best, but people are falling through the cracks.
And that's the people in homes. Our homeless are being chased. They're chasing them all over the island. Right. During this COVID shutdown, they're chasing them from park to park, instead of keeping them in one place so that people can deliver services to them. It really is disheartening. And thank God Neil Abercrombie didn't get his bill through a couple of years ago when he was governor. I don't know if you remember this. There was a bill that would have criminalized food programs that weren't state-run.
Oh, no, I know. I testified against that.
Yeah, thank God. Could you imagine?
I remember I went up there and I said, okay, so you don't want me to make food at in my own kitchen, make hot dogs for, you know, 100 people. You would rather them, literally what you're telling me, you would rather them, for safety, eat out of the garbage can, right? I mean, that's what you're saying. And I just got off the stage after that because that's what it sounded like. Anyway,
what saying happened. Is they imagined a world in which the government would do everything through magic.
Right, right.
And they don't.
Exactly. And but see, the I know we're kind of getting off topic here, but their rhetoric behind it was that if it's not state run, it's not safe.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not trusting you.
Right, they're not trusting me. And so I'm like, okay, here's a list of 100 people. Are you feeding them today or not? No, but we can't. It was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, and so could you imagine the position that we would have been in right now if that would have been passed?
I know.
Meanwhile, in Hawaii, no one would ever think of criminalizing feeding feral cats.
That's right. That's right. Well, we've had issues with that at my jiu-jitsu dojo because there's too many cats because people keep feeding the feral cats.
Yeah,
and
right.
No one will do anything about it.
I want to ban feeding feral cats, but they don't even try it because it would never get passed.
Right, you're.
But they almost passed a bill banning feeding people. I mean, how crazy is that?
It's insane. It really is.
So, you know, I wrote a book, The Race to Save Our Century, and I have five principles that would prevent the horrors of the 20th century. And one of those five principles is subsidiarity. And if we look at who is caring for the vulnerable, it's those local organizations, churches, families, community groups, and who's really causing all the problems are these distant, unelected bureaucracies giving vague, hard-to-follow commands all the time.
You know, I got to say something. I think one of the things that this period, a silver lining lesson that we can learn from this period is, and I hope people in higher levels learn from this, is this period really revealed what happens when you strip away some of the bureaucracy, when you strip away some of the red tape, you allow people with skill sets to do what they do. Look at, and it's just not my group, there are other groups too, look at how much they're able to accomplish when you remove these ridiculous, unnecessary red tape things, bureaucracy. And I hope people learn from that lesson because so much has been accomplished. Really, you did that in 6.5 weeks. It wasn't that hard when you're allowed to do things, you know?
Yeah. If you'd have gone to some bigger bureaucratic organization, they would still be doing, they would still be having meetings on liability.
That's right. That's right. And of course, for us anyway, we made it very easy. We deal 99% with non-perishables. Like, you know, we tried to help and make sure that we'd never run into those issues. You
liability
know,
issues.
It's canned goods, you know? And so...
So instead of trying to do it perfect, you're like, well, how can we do this now and minimize liability?
And that's what we did. So we got a bunch of canned goods. And you know, things that are non-perishable, good for 20 years in a can. And that's what we're doing. And it's helping people. People are grateful for it, but it allows us to move forward without having to deal with a lot of paperwork.
Now, here's the reason I wanted to have you on. I want to keep this episode short because I want to keep it viral. You just did this. Now we're coming out of the shutdown. There may be another shutdown in the fall. Maybe. And with or without even another shutdown, opening up the economy is a lot harder than closing an economy. You can arrest people for not closing their business. You cannot arrest people for not opening their business. You cannot arrest people for not going back to movie theaters or restaurants. So all of us are going to have, you're going to have to resurrect your business. I'm going to have to resurrect my organization. And meanwhile, we're going to have to care for the vulnerable. And in Hawaii, I just heard on the news last night, our own state government came out and said, we will probably be seeing 30% unemployment into the next year, and it won't be till 2025 that we're back to where we were 3 months ago. So that means your work, you have a lot of work ahead of you. People are listening to this all over the world, and there are people falling through the cracks in their neighborhood. What would you tell them? Because I want to see Kupuna. I want at least this podcast, I want at least one organization created somewhere in the world. Somebody who's listening is like, I'm going to do that and take care of the elderly and the vulnerable in my community. So what would you tell them?
Well, you know, here's what I'd say. Put aside for a minute how you feel politically about this or that, frustration you might have with your local government, frustration you might have with your churches even, what they have or have not done. Put that aside. We all have the ability to go out and help other people. We all have that ability. And you can do it in such a way that you don't need permission to do it, and you can do it in such a way that you're not required, you know you're not required to get permission from people, and also you can do it in such a way that everyone feels safe with you doing it. I mean, I do it every day. I wear a mask. I do all the things that the CDC and everyone else would say. Why? Is it because I agree with everything? No, I do not agree with everything, but guess what? I need to get a work done. I need to get, you know, I have a plan. What's what I'm looking for? I have a goal to accomplish.
You have a mission.
I have a mission. There you go. I have a mission. And I'm able to accomplish it if I follow certain rules.
And it's not the time or place.
It's not the time
or place. You're going to wear a mask because that old person, you know, they're scared to death.
Are you literally going to stand outside and argue with someone who's starving for food that I'm going to come and give this to you and I'm not wearing a mask because it's so wrong that we have to wear a mask? Don't. It's not the time or place. Just give them their food.
Yeah, your job is... Well, you were telling me you got people criticizing you for not fighting the stay-at-home order or the masks. And you're like, That's not my job.
I'm just here.
Jason Jones was on the front page of the paper doing
Jason
that.
Jason Jones got arrested. I'm just feeding people, right?
Yeah, I'm feeding people. Let's just, and that's where we all have different jobs.
That's right.
And if I'm delivering food for you,
so just go out and
I'm
do
not,
something.
I'm going to wear a mask.
Go out and do something.
I'm going to socially distance. I want to make the vulnerable as feel as comfortable as possible.
That's right. And also, if you can't get involved in an organization or don't have the means to start an organization, check on your neighbors. Check on the people in your neighborhood. See if they need help. You know, a lot of times you can just offer simply one of the kupuna in your neighborhood, the seniors in your neighborhood, ask them if they need some grocery shopping to be done. They'll give you the money for it. They have many times they have the money. It's not about that. Ask if you can help in those small ways. It makes a big difference in the lives of many people when you just offer to help your neighbors. Leave no neighbor behind. I don't care what creed you believe in or anything. We all should agree as humans that it is a good thing to not leave our neighbors behind.
Yeah, and most people agree with that, but they're afraid that it's being socially irresponsible to check on their neighbors. So what would you say to somebody who feels like, I don't want to go knock on my elderly neighbor's door because I don't want to scare them or...
Sure. So this is what I would say. I would say two things. Number one, if someone doesn't want your help individually, then they don't want your help. Number two, do your best to follow the recommended regulations as far as safety and all that. Do your best to do that for the safety of everyone and so that you can accomplish your mission of helping people.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, realize that throughout all of this, will you have people who, this is something I learned from the great Jason Jones. Will you have people who throw rocks at you? Absolutely. You have to love them more than be worried about the rocks that they're throwing at you.
Yeah,
you know,
love people more than you worry what they think about
that's
you.
That's right. Because most often they're not thinking about you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So just love people. Help who wants help. Offer your help. If people don't take you up on it, it's fine. But don't be afraid. You can be as safe as possible following all the regulations. For goodness sakes, you know, people say that they're afraid of helping others, but I see them packed in line at Walmart every day, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we just follow Good the point. Regulations that have been suggested, do it in a safe way. You can maintain distance. You can wear a mask. You can sanitize 80 times a day. Do all those things, but you can still help people. There's a way to do it. If you just put effort into it, you will find a way to be able to help others in your neighborhood and maintain all the CDC recommended regulations and all that kind of stuff.
Right. If people want to support Kupuna Needs, how do they do that?
So you want to go to kupunaneedsproject.com. That's K-U-P-U-N-A needsproject.com. And on it, you'll see the video by our Boy Scout who kind of introduces the project. There will be various ways to donate. You can donate through Epic Ministry or through the Diocese of Honolulu, who we're getting involved at this point. We're working with them to figure out a plan to transition to long-term how we're going to do this, maybe get it down to parish levels and things like that. So we're working out a plan with them. They've been very supportive and helpful to us during this project. And we're looking forward to that. So you can donate through the Catholic Church or you can donate to Epic Ministry. And then also I got to throw in, I don't want to bring up too much about them because they're helping in many different ways. But also visit Life is Sacred as well, the organization Life is Sacred. The website is, it's Native American, so it's backward. It's Sacred is Life.
I love that.
Sacredislife.com. Check it out.
So I love it that you have a First Nations people on the mainland.
That's right.
The First Nations people
That's right.
of Hawaii.
And I just got goosebumps because those First Nation people in the mainland are some of the reservations and tribes that have the strictest lockdowns and who have the highest level of incidence of being ill from this virus. And even though they're struggling more than almost anywhere else, you know, in the contiguous U.S., they're still looking out for us. And sending aid to
I
us.
Love it. I'm really excited. I know that New Mexico has been hit hard.
Huge.
And in late September, I'm speaking in New Mexico, and I happened to meet a group of young women that were Apache. I thought they were local girls. I thought they were Native Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. But I was reading Life Among the Apache on a flight from Honolulu to Los Angeles. These girls got all excited, asked me why I was reading that book. And I said, I don't know. I like knowing the history of my country. They were all Apaches, so they're giving me a tour of their reservation when I'm speaking in New Mexico, but their reservation's one that's been hit hard.
That's right. So, yes, Sacred is Life will also give you, sacredislife.com will give you an opportunity also to donate to Life is Sacred, which will go directly towards helping those tribes that have been hardest hit during this time.
And I got to meet them at the March for Life.
That's right. You marched with us.
Yeah, that was a privilege to march with you guys. Well, Dallas Carter, thank you. Tell the people of the planet Earth how hot my studio is.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to call in next time. This is ridiculous.
I told you to call in.
That's right.
Told you, didn't I? I said
yeah, call. You should just
thought,
call in.
I thought I just didn't want to see you.
You know what? Because when I usually hang out with you, it's night, it's cooler.
I told you.
Hot right now, man.
Yeah, no, I have to shower in between every podcast. A cold shower. Maybe I should just put an air conditioner in here.
Hey, how about that?
All right, brother. Well, I want to thank you. I want everyone to go in the show notes, check out Kupuna Needs. Support it if you can. And I hope it inspires you to support the local organization in your community that's doing similar work. And
right.
If you're from Hawaii, most definitely donate to Kupuna Needs. And if you love Hawaii, donate to Kupuna Needs.
And if you don't have the means to either serve or to support financially, go ahead and just do what you can. And the easiest way is to check on your neighbors. Make sure they're okay. If we all check on our neighbors and leave no neighbor behind, it'd be a better world. How about that? How about even after we get out of this, let's always check on our neighbors. It'll be a better world.
Cool. I love it. We'll check on our neighbors. This episode has been brought to you by the Vulnerable People Project. Go to our website, thegreatcampaign.org. And for a donation of $20 or more, you get a free copy of my book, The Race to Save Our Century. Do more if you can, because $20 is our break-even point on shipping, books, etc. And so do more. Give us 5 stars and rate and review the show. That helps us grow. We've been doubling audience every week now for the past 8 weeks. My goal is to be in the top 100 by the end of the summer. The top 50 by the end of the summer. We're already in the top 100.
And feel free to donate an air conditioner to Jason Jones.
Yeah, help. All right. Aloha.
This has been the Jason Jones Show, powered by Mudhouse Media.